Amen. Praise the Lord. It is so good to be here this morning.
Amen.
I'm thankful revival continues. I'll just say it like that. Amen. I tell you, I sincerely appreciate those who are able to be here this week. And I believe if you're able to, I believe you got a blessing. And even if it was listening online, you can still go online and listen. And what a blessing it is. I tell you, it's what I needed. I told Preacher Andy, I said, that's what I needed. I said, if I could have written it down and handed it to you, that'd been maybe my wish list or prayer list. But it's like I told Brandy, I want you to know this. I didn't talk to him. I didn't talk to him before. I just prayed and asked that the Lord show me who he'd have for us. And boy, I tell you, it'd been a while since I'd heard Preacher Andy preach, but what a blessing. Amen. I tell you, it's so good to hear from those preachers round about us and what have you, and have them with us. And I'm just so thankful for this morning, and my thing is, I just don't want to mess anything up. I'm just still staying in the path of trying to stay out of the way. I tell you, that's worked so far, it feels like, for this week, and just trying to get out of the way and stay out of the way and just let the Lord have His way. But if you will, let's turn to John chapter number 14. Kind of a continuation from Sunday school time, and it's amazing how the Lord orders things. And I know we would probably order things in such a way that it would come out to our good, our easement, really. It's kind of interesting. The scripture actually escapes my mind at the moment, but in the Bible, back when the children of Israel were leaving out, I guess it was Egypt there, leaving out, they had a mountaintop that they had to go around. And so the way that it's amazing what you learn in the Bible. But what they did is they followed the cattle out to go around the top of that hill to get through it. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And they said the reason that they did that is because the cattle would go the easiest path around that mountaintop to get to the other side. They didn't want to weary the ladies, the children didn't want to weary them. So they used that to follow the way around so it wouldn't weary them. And I was like, praise the Lord. And that's what I would do. That's why I'd try to find the easiest path. I mean, you look at a mountaintop, some of these around here, they're kind of straight up. Brother Terry, wear you out pretty quick. If you try to hit that thing head on, wear out pretty quick, But in our minds, we try to find the easy path and go around that way. But the reality about life is a lot of times we don't get the easy path. We don't. And if we did, Brother Nathan, just like you and I are talking, if we got the easy path every time, it would not show God's blessing on the path that we had to go through, because it would be like, well, yeah, it was easy. You could do that. When those passes or that path is unpassable and you get through it, everybody looks back and says, only God could have led you through that. Amen. Only God could have done that, you see. And that's what He wants to get out of our lives. And He wants to get glory and honor out of our lives in total. And not just our young lives, not just our middle lives, or maybe even just our older lives. But He wants to get all the glory out of our life entirely, the entirety of it. I've said this to the, I guess, CFC, our Sunday school class before too. And I've said it like this. I said, when I was a kid growing up in church, and I probably said it here before, I'll say it again, but growing up in church, when I saw the older Christians in the church, I always felt like they had it made. They were married and all this kind of stuff or what have you, and kind of had everything set up and not, already in a home and all this kind of stuff, where on the front end, you're looking at things, what ifs, and trying to plan, maybe looking at things like, they're stable and set up, you got it made, But what I've learned as I've gotten older, you have challenges every leg of the race, every part of it. There's going to be challenges. Some are what you'd say impassable challenges, hardship and things that you're trying to figure out. A lot of times we get locked into the why. I want to remind us this morning, we need to be focused on the who. He wants us to look at Him. I dare say, I would think this, if life was easy all the time, we would neglect to look at Him. I think we'd stop looking at Him altogether, maybe be happy, but we would never be as thankful as we could be or should be if there weren't storms that we had to go through to get there. I believe Brother Andy preached on that kind of somewhat this week, and you just really think about it. And I thought a lot about him this week. What a testimony he and Sister Lisa have, the things they've been through and still yet staying faithful for the Lord. And I tell you, many of you here in this church have a testimony to that, staying faithful in spite of the bad things, the bad times. I tell you, I want to encourage you this morning along those lines. But John 14, and we see here again a continuation of where we're at this morning out of John 13, and Jesus again was trying to explain. I say trying. He was explaining, but I don't know that they were understanding it. He could explain it to them, but he couldn't understand it for them, as I've heard a friend kind of say it that way. But he was trying to get it out to them so they could understand what was going to take place, so they would be prepared. He wanted to prepare them, and what love it was for him to say, I'm going to be leaving you, but I want you to take care of each other. And I'm thankful that he didn't stop there, and you'll see the continuation here, and that he didn't stop there, but he also sent some help. But this morning, the title is Set in His Ways. I want to go ahead and say that. A lot of times I get wound up and forget that. But set in His ways. They're talking about the ways of God, the ways of the Lord, the ways of the Holy Spirit, the importance of being set in His ways. Something that I have come to learn and know, if we're not careful, we will get set in our own way of doing things, and we kind of maybe get complacent and think, well, this kind of works, and I'll just stay set in my ways. And you kind of, if you're not careful, what you'll get is stagnant. What you'll get is lukewarm. And you'll just kind of be in the middle. And you'll never be sold out either way. When you look at the Bible, when you follow people's lives in the Bible, whether it be the Old Testament or the New Testament, there were new challenges throughout their life. There might be the one time that they accepted God. You see that where it was accounted to Abraham, counted unto him for righteousness because he believed God, but he didn't, he believed maybe once for salvation, but there was different things that they had to believe in throughout life. So it's not just a one and done thing. Wouldn't it be something if we all were just allotted one challenge in life or one challenge in, or trial in life and that was it? You've had your one trial. You don't have to have any more trials. You just go on. Wouldn't that be something? Somebody say, amen. Amen. I don't want any more trials. It's been rough enough. I don't want any more. But the reality of it is we're going to have more trials, and we don't get to pick those. We don't know what the next trial is. We don't know that. But you know, God sees us where we're at. If you're saved, if you're lost, you need to be saved this morning. I'll say that. I always want to share the gospel. That's when life starts, is at salvation. I want you to really know that. But when you become a Christian, God sees you where you are, and he wants to transform you and take you to where he wants you to be. Now, that's every single one of us. That's what he wants. And I tell you, the paths that we take sometimes when we're looking forward, it's just like this don't make no sense at all. It don't make any sense. Why? Why do these things happen? And there's things that happen in our lives that we cannot control, but guess what? We serve a God that is in control. Amen. I want you to know that. See, people have the choice, the opportunity, the power to make decisions. And I tell you, I'd say probably 50-50 or less, they get it wrong. God never gets it wrong. If there's been bad decisions and things in life, there are things that God can work around. God can still do things in your life, regardless of your circumstances. I want you to know that. He can take you from where you are and take you to where he wants you to be. He can do that. He has the power to do that. He's the creator. He has the power to do that. What I'm afraid what happens is a lot of times we get set in our ways. What we see, what we want, what we think, what we perceive. We stay that way. And I tell you, when you get set in your ways, that's when you stop growing as a Christian. I want you to know that. I want you to know that. There is always something to learn in the Word of God, always. I'm reminding myself this. I don't want to get to the place, Lord willing, if I live longer, that I get to the place where I think I know it all, because I don't. And guess what? You don't either. See, that's another thing about the beauty of life is if everything just stayed the same, you'd probably get boring. I like changes up. I like things to change up every now and then. I do. I like to see what the Lord has for me, you know, and take from one path to another and show you new things, teach you new things, and that's how you grow. If you only just did the same things over and over, you would only get to a certain place. Whether that be exercise, diet, or what have you, you just get to a certain place. But see, the Lord, he takes us to places above and beyond that. But it requires our faith. And that's what gets hard. It's like, how can God do this? How? You know, we get caught up in the hows and the whys and forget about the who. And what the Bible is teaching us and what it teaches us all throughout the Bible is that we need to be set in his ways and not set in our own ways. That's when he starts taking you to different places. If you drove the same route every day, guess where you'd end up? The same place. Every time. Every single time. I remember Josh when we were little, we'd say, where are we going this morning? On Saturday morning, he had to have an itinerary. Where are we going? We're going to Walmart. Did you know you can get to Walmart more than one ways in Boone from the house? I mean, you can. You go 421, 105. Well, he didn't know that. If we didn't go the way he thought we were supposed to go, I thought you said we was going to Walmart. Well, we are, but you can get there this way. You see, God knows how to navigate our lives, and he keeps our lives from being boring. I want to tell you that. Anybody who thinks or says that the Christian life is boring, you're not doing it right. I just want to tell you that. Yeah, by faith. And he wants us to be set in his ways. I'm going to read this morning, and we'll get started, and this is about the Holy Spirit in our lives. You see, when you go back and you look at what he was saying in John 13, he was telling them, I'm leaving. In just a little while, you're not going to see me. I'm leaving. But you guys are going to be together. And a new commandment that I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's what he left them. That's how he left it off. Before we get to this conversation, I believe he was in the upper room, and he was really having a heart-to-heart with his people. And that's a good thing to do from time to time. But you know, as they, what he was giving them, and still I don't think they understood it, what he was explaining to them, you'll see in these verses, he's saying, although I am leaving and although I am not going to be with you, I'm going to send you some help. You're not going to just be out there by yourself trying to figure things out. You see, my mind physically, I'd be worried if I was walking with Jesus physically, and he tells me I'm not going to be able to walk with him and lean on him physically, I'd be very worried and very concerned. And so that's why he gave this next portion of scripture. He gives us everything we need if we'll slow down and read it. John 14 and 15, we'll start there. It says, if you love me, remember that's where we left off in 13 about loving as he is loved. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. What a circle that is. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is it that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Let's pray. Father, I just come to you again this morning, just thankful, God, for what you've already done. And Lord, I continue. I just want to stay out of the way, want to stay out of the way, Lord. I don't ever want to be a hindrance, a stumbling block, anything like that, Lord. Just want to get out of the way. Just want to see you have your way. God, I want to see us and our church set in your ways, not set in our ways. We can have good habits and bad habits, Lord, but I want us to be set in your ways, God, always ever seeking what you would have for us, always learning, always growing, always trusting God, trusting your way, the way that you want us to go, regardless what we think or feel, but knowing that you have our best intentions at heart. You love us, God. I know we face hard things, confusing things, things that make absolutely no sense, but even still yet, I know you love us. You love us with all your heart. You went to the cross for us, God, and you've always made a way. I've never seen the child of God never have a way of escape. Your word teaches us that from the Old Testament through the New. Lord, even today, by faith, it all counts the same. It's by faith we walk with you, God, and I pray that you help us this morning. Help us as individuals. Help us as families. Help us as a church, God, that we would see what you would have us to, that we would learn from it, grow from it, apply it to our lives, God, and be all the more stronger, all the more committed, and all the more confirmed, God, in your will, God, for our church and for our lives. Lord, help us today. And Lord, those that are lost, God, I pray you touch their hearts, Lord. I've been praying for several, God. You think about those, I think about those hands that are being raised and those that are thinking and considering and learning and trying to understand. God, I pray that you make yourself real to them this morning. It's through the power and the conviction of the Holy Spirit that things get done in the church, God. It's by you. It's not by us. God, I thank you for all your power, all your glory. I thank you for sending your son Jesus to go to the cross for me, as unworthy as I am. But it was for the death for the sins of all mankind. God, if we believe in that, repent in our sins, we believe in that, God. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I thank you so much for that this morning. God, please help me. Help me stay out of the way, and I pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 So my Bible here has a little title about this part here. I guess maybe that's why my eyes lit on it pretty easy. The last few weeks, been reading kind of through here, but it's concerning the Holy Spirit. Again, I've probably preached on along these lines before, but the Lord has kind of kept me here in John, maybe on my side study or what have you, and just right through here. And I love the Gospel of John. It really speaks to the church, and I think to me it speaks to us in a way that we can understand it. It slows things down. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it kind of goes fast, and you see the big picture, and you get down to the Gospel of John, and it's like a big bullseye. It just shows you what you need to see. It shows you the plan of salvation so clearly, from Nicodemus all the way down to getting to the crucifixion and things that are taking place here. You don't see that the crucifixion like you see it in the other Gospels. It's a little bit different once you get to the book of John, the way that it's explained. And it's just amazing how I feel that it speaks to me. And you look at the different personalities in the Bible, and I love reading that as you go through each time. If you're a Bible student, you should be. If you're not, you should be. And read your Bible, study your Bible, and you begin to see the different personalities in these writers. And I'm like, you know what? They were human just like I am. It makes it all the more real. It's not just God Himself commanding. It's God breathing on people as the Holy Spirit gave utterance so we can understand it in a way we can understand. We can never understand God's ways. His ways are far above ours. We don't understand it. We don't see it, but He allowed it to be written this way so you and I could see it. And now you see here again, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we go from saying to love one another in John 13. But He's saying here, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's kind of direct. It's a contingency. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I'm thinking, well, what happens if a person says, I'm a Christian and I'm not keeping his commandments? Then something's wrong. I mean, something's not right. Something's out of place. And that's something that for us to consider. When you look at it, now I'll jump down here just a second, but we'll come right back. Judas, which is not Iscariot, but you look at verse 22, it says, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not into the world? That's a good question. I think Judas was actually paying attention because, you know, on the outside looking in, I would want everybody to know. But Jesus was explaining to his disciples, his followers, he is saying, you're going to be able to see me, but guess what? The world can't see me. Now that's something to think about. Don't you want the world? Then how in the world did we ever see him? He sought us out. Somebody preached to us. Somebody taught us. The Holy Spirit made himself known unto us. You say, well, how do I get that Holy Spirit? If some people have it and some people don't, why don't some people have it? Why have people, some people not accepted Jesus Christ? Why? You know, we ask these questions. Judas, he said, how is it that you will make yourself known, make yourself obvious to us and not to the world? Wouldn't you want the world to know? Would that not be the plan? But you have different kind of people in the world. You have people that are set in their ways and they're not willing to listen. They're not willing to learn. They're not willing to surrender themselves to someone else. And that's a problem. When a person gets to that place in life, and I'm not saying you're supposed to surrender yourself to the wrong influence or anything like that. I'm talking about to God's influence. And you'll know it because the Spirit will make it real to you. I tell you, just even morally, I think there's a time if you've been brought up in a moral home, being taught wrong and right, that you get ready to do something, the Holy Spirit of your morals will say, don't do that. There's something in there, inner compass. But see, there's something a whole lot more powerful than that. And there's a lot of people who will profess being a Christian, but you do not see the guiding of the Holy Spirit in their life. And that's concerning. It's very concerning to me. It's concerning to the world. That's what the Bible is teaching here. That's what he's talking about. That's what Jesus is talking about directly. He's saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. But then he goes on to say here, you got Judas asking this question. He's saying, well why? Why can some people see us and some people not? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. What Jesus said in the Bible, if you love him, you will do those things. It's very simple. That's not a hard thing. You will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come into him and make our abode with him. And that word abode, that's a place of continuance. When the Holy Spirit truly moves into your heart, it's an abode of continuance. It's from that day moving forward. You have new guidance. You're not relying on just, well, I think I need to do this. It's the Holy Spirit. It will guide you. And it will help you be set in his ways. And I want you to understand that. See, I think about that a lot. And in dealing with people, dealing with situations, dealing with things, you know. For me, when I was in law enforcement, I'll pull from good experience right here. When I was in law enforcement, it was my responsibility to take control of the situation. That's what I was hired to do. Control the uncontrollable. And sometimes you can talk people into understanding things, Brother Tim, and sometimes you have to make it. That was the thing. Ask them, tell them, make it. That was kind of the three things. Now, you don't see that in school book. It's not like that in DLT, but that's what you have to do. You said, well, Pastor's kind of cool. Ask them, tell them, make it. It's kind of cool. But that's what you have to do. Now, see, now, what's different about this is that you don't really do it that way. As a pastor, don't really do it that way. Because if I force you to do something, you'd be doing it to appease me. And see, that's not how this thing works. I've seen that a lot. I've had people in the past ask me, what do you think about this preacher? Are you okay with this? Are you okay if I do this? Are you okay with that? Well, first and foremost, I guess I appreciate you asking, but I'm not the one that you need to be asking. You need to be asking the Lord. And the Lord tells us in his word, Brother Dale, what he expects from us. He's saying, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. If you're going to follow me, you accept me, guess what? Now, I live in your heart. And there's this time when you start making decisions, it's like, well, I'm going to do this, and something might say, no, that's something that's the Holy Spirit if you're saved. Like, no, you don't need to do that. That's not the right thing to do. And you might not fully understand, well, why is that the wrong thing? If you go back to God's Word, it'll be in there. That's where he teaches us. That's where he speaks to us in his Word. Don't do that. But you see, from that time moving forward, it's a continual thing. And what he's asking us to do is to do that willingly. And the Bible goes on to say, it makes it very, very sharp. It says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So that tells me, if I don't keep his commandments, there's no evidence that I love him. You think about that with the Lord, that's sharp. That's hard. I've thought about it a lot. Now, why wouldn't somebody follow the Lord? You know, sometimes I guess there's passive resistance and things, but I looked at it like this. Those who do not keep the saying, what this is teaching, those who do not keep his sayings do not love him. And it's a person being set in his own ways. They're not willing to listen, learn, or surrender. And I looked at it like this. They're either rebellious and non-belief. There's some people who are non-believers. There's some people like, I just don't believe it. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe there's a God. And they've not got to that place of repentance, that place of acceptance. So therefore, they're just not even on the page as the Bible teaches. They've not even come to believe that there's a God. You know, and I tell you, that's a bad place to be. But you know what's worse? Is to be a Christian, profess you're a Christian, and not walk in his ways. In a lot of ways, that's worse. That's a worse example. I don't expect anything from a non-believer. Nothing. A lost person, I don't expect anything from them. They don't have what a Christian has. They don't have the inner dwelling.
of the Holy Spirit. They don't have that. But when you have a professing child of God that says, I'm a Christian, but there's no evidence, that's very concerning. Something is wrong. You're either blatantly disobeying Him or passively disobeying. That's between you and the Lord. I know this. If everybody's following the Holy Spirit, He's not going to lead you one way and me another way. We're going to be on the same page. He's a unifier. He wants His family to be unified. When you look at division, it's because people aren't willing to accept it. It's not that He is, I'm going to lead you this way, I'm going to lead you that way and see what happens, and oh boy, won't that be fun? Look at all this contention. No. See, Satan is the author of confusion. Not our Father, not Jesus. But He's talking about having an abode, having that togetherness together. And He that loveth me, verse 24, and he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Jesus is going on to say, hey, I know you're looking at me physically, but know this, it's my Father doing the talking here. I think sometimes what happens is we look at each other physically. Now again, you got to understand the battle is spiritual battle, it's not flesh and bone. Spiritual wickedness in high places. But I think sometimes what happens is you get your feelings hurt, you get your toes stepped on, and what do you want to do? Very rarely, if somebody steps on your toes, maybe in a hateful way, in a wrong way, which that's a divider, step on your toes the wrong way, very rarely do you want to scoop them up and hug them by the neck and say, I love you, thank you. Very rarely. A lot of times what happens, if somebody gets their toes stepped on, they kind of get bitter, and then they want to get back. That's what happens. You made me mad. You hurt my feelings. Therefore, I'm at you. What Jesus is saying here, He's saying, listen, this is God's word. This is my Father's word. It's not my own. I'm passing along to you what the Father has said. I'm passing along to you. Now, if you don't want to go along with that, don't shoot the messenger. Take that up with God the Father. That's what He's saying. He's trying to get people to understand here. You look at Jeremiah, the question again, Judas asking, how is it that you make yourself known and obvious to us and not the world? Jeremiah 29:13, it says, and ye shall seek me and you shall find me when you search me with all your heart. See, that's what he's saying. He's saying, if you want to know the Lord and what His will is, you can find that out. I want to say this. If you're here this morning and you're lost, His will for you, plainly, simply, is to accept it. That's His will. That's your primary focus. That's the number one thing on your to-do list, is to accept it. If you're lost, that's what He's dealing with you about. That you're lost, He's convicting you. The conviction that you feel in your heart, that's Him saying, you need to be saved. That's the first step. That's the very first part. But now, after you're saved and you start searching, you start studying the Word of God, He's not going to hide that from you. And I promise you, He is not going to show you one thing and show me another thing to try to get us to do this. He shows us the same thing to bring us to the same point. That's how the Holy Spirit works. He's very direct that way. If you search Him with your whole heart, see, some people, what happens is they are trying to be a naysayer. That's what was happening. That's the answer to Judas's question. He said, hey, if you're not searching for me in spirit and truth and you're trying to disprove me, you'll never see it. You'll never see it. So, preacher, I don't do that. I don't try to disprove the Lord. I don't do that. I've been a member for years. I've gone to church for years. And I'm a believer and I'm a Christian. But I kind of do things this way. When you start being set in your ways, you are no longer set in His ways. Amen. You can amen that. That's right. You can't be set your ways and His ways too. You got to be set in His ways or your ways. And see, that's what happens sometimes. People get to the place, they're not willing to follow Him. They'll only go so far and then they stop. And that's where your spiritual growth stops. That's when you become stagnant. I tell you, the further I go, the more I learn. The older I get, the more importance I see in wanting to set our young people up for success in the church. You hear about it a lot in the world. You do. You want people to have money and funds and provision, all that. I tell you, you get your heart right, your life right with God, He promised He would take care of that part. I want to make sure you have what you need spiritually. You take out the older ones in the church, Do the younger ones know how to carry on? I thought about that a lot this week. This weekend in particular, have I taught, am I teaching the younger ones enough to know how it's supposed to be to carry the church on? That should be our number one priority. Number one priority, church. Number one. If you're an older member of the church, that should be your number one priority. Overseeing your home, that your children know how to live, act in accordance to God's word, and then, consequently, the church. The worst thing I can do is sit back and say, boy, this generation come to age, they didn't have like we did they? Didn't have as hard as we did. Amen. I tell you, the older generation before me had it a lot harder than me. But I tell you what, this younger generation doesn't have it easy either. Try to buy a house today. Try to figure some of these things out financially. It's hard. What I see is the importance of not talking about how hard I've got it, being set in my ways, looking at it from my point of view, but trying to see it from God's point of view. My point of view gets bland, it gets weak, it gets boring, it gets worrisome, it gets out of control that way. It has anxiety because I don't have all that my Father has, but He has a provision. He wants us to see things His way, be set in His ways. He's got the answer for us, and He's going to take care of us. But you see, the world can't see that. He doesn't see. The world doesn't see those things. I got to hurry along. Verse number 16. I'll pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. He's saying, now once I'm gone, I'm not just going to leave you alone. You're going to have some help. I'm going to send a comforter. And I want you to know something. The only thing better, and this is better, believe it or not. I'll tell you, this is better. Because we think about what would it have been like to be a disciple. What would it have been like to walk with God in the flesh, Jesus, to walk with Him and have Him right beside you all the time. You just run to Him, He's like, He's right there, brother. He's like, hey, I got a question. What do I need to do? You see, that's what you do. You go to Him. Well, if He was in another place and you were over here, you'd have to go find Him, right? Well, see, the difference after the day of Pentecost, the difference of this, the difference of what happened is He said, I'll send a comforter and He will be in you. That's all the time. He's not in you and out of you. He's in you all the time. He's always there. But do we listen to Him? You don't have to go run and find Him. Guess what? He's already right there. That's what it teaches. That's what He's saying. It does not get any better than that. You know, that's better than walking beside Him is when He's walking in you. That's the best place you can be. But there has to be inner turmoil if He's saying walk this way and you're setting your ways and I'm just going to do this way. This is the way we've always done it. This is just the way it's always been. See, that's what got the Jews in trouble. I'm just being honest with you. They saw Jesus face to face and denied Him. Because they said, no, we're going to do it this way. That's the way we've always done it. They're setting their ways. That's not how we grow. That's not how we get past things. You look at verse number 17, I hurry along. There's a lot in here and it's good for us, church. It will help us. Even the Spirit of truth. You'll see the Spirit of truth. You'll see that mentioned in different places here in this gospel. But it's really outlining it and talking about the Spirit of truth. And in Romans 3:4 it says, let God be true and every man be a liar. Spirit of truth, if you're saved, it's in you. You're going to know. And if something, you're going to go one way, the Spirit's saying going another way, you're going to have that feeling of uneasiness in your heart. And you're going to know that. He's going to lead you in a different direction. Psalm 51:4, it says, against thee, this is David. You think about David, what he did. You think about what he did with Bathsheba, what he did with Uriah. That was wicked. I mean, that's just like if you read that in the news today about a local politician or something like that, you said, boy, that's a rotten scoundrel right there that do something like that. Cheat on have an affair with another man's wife and then have him killed, that's dirty. That's rotten. And you know, when you look at David, what I find very interesting about this with him, his sin had a direct effect on other people. He sinned against them. He hurt them. Had an affair with Bathsheba and had another man killed. He took another man's life. But you know what he came to understand and what he realized? Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. David was saying this, regardless of how bad I hurt somebody else, Father, I sinned against you. He knew God's commandments. He knew God's law and went against it anyway. He saw the importance. What I'm getting at there is, if we're not careful, we think we're getting even with somebody else, or we're going to do our way and not somebody else's way because we want our way. But if that person is trying to follow God and you're going against them, in reality, you're going against God. Think about that. Think about that. If somebody is praying, studying, trying to lead, trying to do what God would have them to do, and you're going against that person, consider that. Think about that. Think about who you're really going up against. If somebody is truly trying to surrender themselves to God and say, God, I want your way. I want your way, God, whatever that way is. And somebody steps off to the side, well, I'm still going to do it my way. Consider that and think about that. That's something very important to consider there. I hurry along this morning, verse number 18. As we come down here, 18 and 19, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. He's saying you have that inner dwelling and that hope and that help. He's talking to his disciples, those who've already believed in him. He's saying you have this. You have this hope. In the world, they're not going to see me. Physically, they're not going to see me. But guess what? My presence is still going to be with you. Still going to be right there with you. You're going to still feel it. You're going to still have that guidance. You're going to have that help. I hurry along here also, verse number 20 and 21. I'll put these together. And at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You think about that assurance. If you ever lose excitement about that, you're in a bad way. He's telling us plain. He's saying, hey, when I come into your heart, you've accepted me after the day of Pentecost. That's past tense. We've gotten past all of that. And now that he's interdwelling in your heart, he's saying, I am there to stay. You can't kick me out. I don't know anybody that'd want to. You know, some people think you can lose that. Anybody in here big enough to go against God? Anybody? Well, what he's saying is, this is me. And then you have Jesus. You're in Jesus. And then this is God. God on top of that. He's saying there's no way anybody could pluck you out of my hand. Nobody. Nobody could do that. How do you lose that? How could you lose that? He's talking about assurance. So you got to understand, people before this time had no understanding of what the inner dwelling of the Holy Spirit was like. They either walked with God or they didn't. The power of the Holy Spirit would come upon them from time to time, or he didn't. But what Jesus was explaining to them plainly is like, I'm going to be in you forever, and you can't lose me. I'm going to be by your side and be in you forever. And what he's saying to go along with that, I'm going to close with this. What he's saying is, but now, this world, if they're to see me, they're going to see the evidence of it in your life. How you treat one another, how you treat your brothers and sisters, how you treat those in the community, how you treat those around about us, that's the evidence. That's the evidence. One thing I've learned in my life, God didn't just say, I'm just going to ask you to do this one thing and never ask you to do anything again. It's multiple things. Sometimes it's things that don't make any sense at all. But it takes faith. It takes faith. Are you set in your ways this morning, or are you set in his ways? That's the question I ask you this morning. If you will stand with me, I'll ask the ladies to come to the instrument.